Welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast, Rob Snyder, alongside Craig Kolodny. Craig, I don't know about you, but I made it out of Sunday healthy. How about you? Well,
glad to hear it, Rob. I did not think that I thought for sure that this Patriots Bengals game was going to finish around 8 o'clock on Sunday night, given the amount of guys that were dropping like flies. Every 2 minutes, there was a guy down.
That was talk about a game that didn't deserve 3 hours and 20 minutes.
No.
My God.
That was a tough
one. As weird as the game was, and as many little things in there that we need to talk about. And I know there's a bigger picture takeaway that you have, but let's start with the injuries, because Will Campbell, MCL injury, could be 2 to 4, could be 4 to 6. We don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Jared Wilson was in a walking boot. Morgan Moses, that was an illness, right? I'm not worried about long-term illness. So, yeah, this isn't a Porzingis situation.
No.
But you get Will Campbell and Jared Wilson looking like they're both going to be out in the near future. Ben Brown, I kind of trust. Vidarian Lowe, I do not trust.
No.
You get Schooler with an ankle injury. You get Tonga injured.
Look at you giving Schooler a shout out. You've come so far.
I was trying to get to the numbers. The Bengals also lost like 19 guys tonight. But let's focus on the loss of Campbell and Wilson. Where do you stand on the offensive line at this point?
Yeah, I was petrified seeing Vidarian Lowe come in the game again. I mean, that thing is scary. I don't even like when he comes in as like an eligible, you know, extra offensive lineman.
That scares the crap out
of me. Now you're telling me he's going to be protecting, Mays Blindside for the rest of the year, probably. Look, if it's not an ACL for Campbell, which it doesn't seem to be, that's huge. I mean, MCL again, this guy is super tough. I would anticipate if he can play again this year, he will be back. Mm-hmm. But we've talked many times on this podcast how fortunate the Patriots have been injury-wise this year. And now we saw, obviously, Milton Williams last game. And now, you know, a couple of big guys on the offensive line. You start testing that depth and, you know, things start to maybe go a little sideways. They held up okay today. And Ben Brown played most of that game and was by and large fine. But definitely big concerns there moving forward. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, after Campbell went down, I kept watching that side of the offensive line, waiting for there to be like some sort of like just explosion through
meltdown.
The line. I didn't see it, so that's kind of nice. I mean, the Bengals are atrocious.
Yeah, you got
personnel wise like, on that side of the ball. We'll learn about it next week when they play the Giants. And you got Burns, and you got Carter, and you got Thibodeau. Whether you like Thibodeau or not,
it's better than the Bengals.
So there's definitely like. There's concern there, but I wasn't – I didn't notice, like, oh, my God, now that Vidarian Lowe's in, like, things are awful. I'm willing to kind of give it a shot. I will say, if they can keep doing semi what they're doing, Doug Marrone, big game ball for you this season. He's kind of gone, like, under the radar as far as their coaching staff is concerned, so – it's a real professional former head coach at offensive line coach. So maybe he's working his magic there with Lowe, but
that's a concern. I also, as you had mentioned, I kind of kept an eye on the left side when Campbell went out too. They used Henry to chip a little bit there. And I think you're going to see that a lot moving forward, especially when they face better pass rushes.
Yeah. Before we get to kind of the nitty gritty of this game, which there's just a lot of nit and grit, so to speak. You have an overarching takeaway. Would you like to just fire overarching takeaway? Before we get into the nitty gritty,
I'm ready. I'm going to cut you off too. I don't think they're as good as everyone thinks. And I think my tone has been that way over the last 4 or 5 weeks as this winning streak has happened. I think they're better than the Mac Jones fluky year where they made, you know, they were the top seed in the AFC at Thanksgiving. I don't think they're as bad as that, but they're not as good as the one seed currently indicates. I have serious concerns about how they would match up against some better teams in the playoffs. I think they've taken advantage, understandably so, against some below average teams. But the fact that the Bengals had a chance to win that game today, I mean, if they think about how different the tone of this podcast would be right now if they had blown it. I mean, by the end of the game, the Bengals obviously had no Ja'Marr Chase. They had no T. Higgins, they had no Joe Burrow, and they had a chance to win the game.
And the funny thing is, like, there's so many different things I wrote down during this game where I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is the number one story if they lose, and of course they don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll still nitpick that. I do think that today was the first day they really reminded me of that Mac Jones team from 2021, right? 21. Yes.
Yes.
It just, it felt like that. It was like, this is just a team that's kind of getting by against the bad schedule. This was the first time it felt that way. I don't know if I'm as concerned as you are. You sound like someone that's just like, nah, they might lose their first playoff game. Yeah. I still have higher hopes for them. I would like to see it. You know, I wanted to see them play from behind 10-0 in the blink of an eye. And then you get a pick six to make it 14-10. It's like, that wasn't exactly what I was looking for.
Not the adversity you hope for.
Yeah. I mean, having your defense put you back on top like seconds later, I'm like, okay, well, this wasn't actually playing from behind necessarily. By the way, on that, sometimes things happen where we end up ranking. Real quick, I'm going to rank the pick sixes. Flacco, worst by a landslide.
Oh, yeah,
Jones, giant cap after that. Or Drake May, sorry.
Drake May.
It reminded, you know what, though? That was a Mac Jones throw. That's why I said Mac Jones. That was a lazy fly ball to center field.
Can of corn. First quarter and a half, that was Mac Jones-esque today. There was a pass where he threw it in between the tight end of the running back, and neither broadcaster knew who it was going to, and quite frankly, neither you or I knew where it was going. But
so I have my first note says weird May throws, and yes, I will say that was the first one I thought of. What I think happened, because they had a close-up of like his eyes, I think he was about to throw it down the field and saw coverage in the last second and tried to quickly adjust and throw the check down, and he ended up throwing it between those two guys.
Yeah,
he had a bunch of goofy throws, even that completion to Mac Hollins down the sideline, which was a gorgeous throw. It was a duck and a half. So kind of a weird May game. The ball, you know, when the weather was fine, the ball just kind of came out of his hand weird, and he made some odd choices.
Yeah, I wasn't overly impressed with him today. And look, he obviously been playing lights out. But to me, this is why the like MVP conversation is silly. Like, he's not the MVP of the league. And it's not just because Stafford's going crazy. But I think there's probably other players that would even be ahead of him. But like, I'm not sure what my list would be, but it's Stafford 1. I don't think Drake May's 2.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's just there's good coaching. They've played with a lead for a lot of the season. I mean, he's good, but he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying they couldn't win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah,
they definitely could. I just think, for me personally, I think I see some things still where I'm like, ugh. Like the throws to begin the game today were so bad. And if I'm not sure that the Patriots win that game, if Joe Flacco doesn't gift them that pick six.
That throw was so bad.
Rob, I could have returned that for a touchdown.
So, I mean, like, dude, you got to look before you throw the check down. Like, take a peek over there.
That's part of
Marcus Jones is running like a 4-3 over to cover that guy. You know what else reminded me? And this is a positive still because it's a good player.
Yeah.
The other thing that reminded me of the Mac Jones years, there's a big, big Hunter Henry game. Yep. Big tight end game in general. And it felt like today was the first day where, and I'm not, you know, May's thrown to receivers enough during the season where I don't question how much he trusts his receivers. This felt like the first day where he's like, where's my safety blanket?
Yep.
I don't feel comfortable out here. Where's my safety blanket?
Yeah. And Henry was huge. And they look, the Bengals have given up. If you look it up, they've given up like a million yards to tight end. So I'm sure that was part of the game plan with their linebackers not being able to cover. And to be fair, Henry was wide open on a lot of plays.
He was wide open on the interception.
Yeah. It's not like he's burning pass guys. Hunter Henry's great. A professional, very reliable pass catcher. But he's not exactly blazing pass guys. So it's like, if he gets wide open, it's because there's a clear breakdown in coverage. So, look, ultimately, a win is a win. But, you know, this Bengals defense, I was hoping – I think last week we probably talked about how maybe the Patriots put up 40 or 50 against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And the Bengals were allowing 33 points a game. Pats had one offensive touchdown. Not great. So,
all right. I was going to switch topics, but let's just stay on the offense since we're talking about them. The
Stafford just threw another touchdown pass, by the way.
Wow. What's the score of that game now?
Devontae Adams just caught a 30 yarder and he ran all the way into the tunnel. It's 28-7.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, pending the extra point.
Oh, man. We're not playing for the re-airs of this.
No, God, no. Listen to this, you get the real thing.
So the goal line situation, Pats 17, Bengals 13. Yeah. You get four plays of the goal on fourth down. You get a penalty that puts you at the half yard line, back to first and goal, and they still don't make it into the end zone. They go for it on fourth and goal. Yep. They run a shotgun run up the middle with Stevenson. You get stuffed. I don't. It's rare to see a team get eight attempts.
I've never seen an eighth and goal before, but the Patriots ran an eighth and goal and didn't score.
That was a bad sequence. No,
and it felt like it lasted forever. It's like, can we just move on from this? This is crazy. The amount of plays that they ran and I mean, they ran different types of plays and none of them worked.
Nothing worked.
Terrible defense. Like how did they, and we've praised Josh McDaniels so much. I just don't, I gotta be honest. I'm not a tush pusher. I'm not a believer in the tush push. Just score regularly. I don't know why they're not just giving the ball to Henderson and letting him run. Like, dude is running hard. I know he didn't have like a monster game today, but every time he got the ball, he lowers his head and he goes into the pile. Like, just give it to him.
You don't have to. Here's the thing. Tush push aside. First and goal. Spread them out. Quarterback sneak. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Josh McDaniels, how many quarterback sneaks did he call with Tom Brady?
I know.
Like a fucking thousand?
Yeah. They don't want
Drake. Sorry for the effing.
That's
He said no one gets hurt on a quarterback sneak ever. No one.
I know.
No one gets hurt on it.
I agree.
Just take the snap and sneak it in. And if you don't get it, guess what? Sneak it again.
That was such a painful watch. I mean, the whole game was kind of a painful watch, but the amount of plays that they ran from the 1 yard line and couldn't score against, it's not like they were facing the 85 Bears. Like
they were facing the worst defense in the league. Yeah. Worst defense in the league.
Couldn't get a yard. How many yards? I'm going to look it up. How many yards do they have of offense today?
I think it was in the 390s.
390. Good call. 392.
Yeah, and May almost had his first 300-yard passing game of his career. Didn't get there.
They could have saved us 5 minutes on this podcast by getting 393 yards instead.
Yeah, right? that would have helped. And you know what? And a curse word. I dropped an F-bomb because I was so angry about this. Well, another thing I was angry about, Craig.
Let's see if our 40 viewers care.
We usually just talk about the defense as like, well, the defense played today. Today felt like kind of a weird defense. They didn't stop the run today, which they usually do.
Yep, no Milton Williams.
Bengals get the ball back at like the 25-yard line, 17 seconds left, two timeouts. They hand the ball off to go to halftime. You get a 18-yard run.
Yep.
You get a 20-yard catch. You get a 63-yard field goal. It felt like the defense keeps kind of just existing. I don't know. You know, the Bengals touchdown, Gonzalez got beat by a guy I've never heard of in my life. Mm-hmm. I still trust Gonzalez. Carlton Davis body slamming T. Higgins and then like celebrating the incompletion with the flag behind it. It's like, dude, you mugged the hell out of him. It felt like, again, like you look 20 points, 307 yards or something. It's like, it's not upsetting, but I still see cracks where I'm like, man, if this is a good team, they might be getting beat here.
Yeah, I'll say this about the defense. I agree. I think the Milton Williams thing is just enormous. I mean, their run defense isn't going to be good, you know, again, but who are they going to face? It's going to run the ball down their throats. Like the Giants aren't going to do it the next game. Maybe Derrick Henry does it. I don't know.
Bills and Ravens, I think, you know, those two teams.
Yeah, but the Bills aren't going to do it. The Bills are a finesse team. But to me, they're going to need him back, which will help solve a lot of things. Obviously, Tonga got hurt too, which he's been playing pretty well this year. For me, the biggest defensive takeaway that I have, honestly, I know this is weird because, I wasn't impressed with the defense. You mentioned him earlier. Carlton Davis made some big plays down the stretch of that game.
He did, yes.
He had a couple pass breakups. That's why you sign a guy like that. That's why you don't have Alex Austin as your second cornerback. And that's why I think Gonzalez and Davis are two of your top, you know, seven or eight most important players. I mean, Davis is never going to get the accolades here as long as Gonzalez is here. But to me, Davis made two big plays. Again, that game, they could have very easily lost against the Bengals.
We were like four,
just a terrible loss.
It was like 4 or 5 episodes ago that you wanted cornerback help at the deadline.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Davis, today might have been, despite the fact that I made fun of him for the pass interference.
Yeah.
He might have been his best game as a Patriot.
Yeah. Well, he made clutch plays. I will say this. I don't know. I forget if we talked about it last week, the whole like, is it better to be battle tested? And, yes, you know, this was a game that while they, again, I think they know they should have won it. You know, obviously they did win it, but I think they knew going in they're clearly the better team. It's hard to not see that and feel that way. I think it was good that their defense had to play with the game on the line and just see what happens. And they made plays. And again, there's no Higgins, no Chase, no Burrow. There's not a lot of weapons out there for Cincy. So they should have pulled through like they did, but it was just good to see them have to make plays there at the end to win the, you know, to make sure they didn't lose the game.
Yeah, there was some situational football that they got to practice against the Bengals.
Exactly.
On the road. Yep. I will say, I keep looking at this. I'm like, I can't believe the Pats haven't had a bye yet.
I know.
That's going to come up huge now that they're so banged up. So yep. One more game before the bye to the Giants. If you can get to 11-2, then you're coming out of the bye. Probably still no Campbell at that point. You may not have Jared Wilson at that point. You know, I don't know what the injury extents are. So we'll find that out. Looking at the AFC playoff picture.
Yep.
The Chiefs beat the Colts today in a game where it's funny. The Colts had to lead the whole game, but the Chiefs kind of played better.
Yep.
They also kind of screwed by the refs at one point with the face mask. So good for the Chiefs pulling that game out. Makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the Chiefs winning.
Yep.
Which helps you with the Colts going down. Chiefs is, by the way, still not a playoff team.
Right.
At the moment, they are still there's still two teams ahead of them to get over to the wild card. Yes, exactly.
They're the 10 seed.
Baltimore has now passed Pittsburgh in the AFC North. We kind of felt it was inevitable and it happened. Yep. And the Bills on Thursday night got just physically ambushed by the Texans, who are also now 6-5. But the Bills are now the 7th seed in the AFC, 7-4, as Jacksonville came back and beat the Cardinals. So it's New England, Denver, Indianapolis, Baltimore, and then your wild cards at the moment, Chargers, Jaguars, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you those standings, what stands out to you?
Yeah, Rob, my first takeaway is the Ravens. I think the Ravens, we've talked about them a lot. I think Lamar is just obviously multiple-time MVP winner. Very dangerous. Harbaugh's obviously done a ton against you as well. You know, you've played a lot of playoff games against them. They've won 5 in a row. They're always going to be scary to me as long as Lamar's there. So to me, them having won 5 in a row, that's my biggest thing. I can't believe the Jaguars are 7-4, but the Chiefs also 6-5. But I feel like we're going to get some unique wild card matchups this year. And I'm not sure if the Chiefs are going to make it. I think they probably will. I think they're going to find a way. I think the Jaguars and Chargers might kind of gag this away. But that's my biggest thing. I think the Ravens and also just keeping an eye on the Chiefs. And the Chiefs really saved their season today with a big comeback against the Colts.
They did. I also kind of watch out for the Texans a little bit. They'll get Stroud back. Mm. That defense is so legit. So legit. And their schedule's not brutal down the side. I could see Texans sneaking in. And I'm still not sold on the Chargers. So we will see. It's going to be interesting because right now, between the Chargers, the Jags, the Bills, the Texans, and Chiefs, two of those are not going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like it's kind of interesting who might get left out of the AFC. AFC's perceived weaker conference, but good teams are going to get left out.
Is there a can I throw something at you?
Sure.
I know it's a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's any chance the Colts don't make the playoffs?
I don't.
Can I give you their schedule?
Sure.
They host the Texans.
Okay.
Go to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Go to Seattle.
Okay.
Host the Niners. Host Jacksonville. Go to Houston. So they play Houston and Jacksonville 4 of their final 6 games.
There is not a losing record on that entire schedule.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, could the Colts finish 10-7 and Houston wins that division or Jacksonville does? I mean, if they lose those head-to-head matchups,
It's quite possible. I also still really like the Colts. They could win. They could sweep Jacksonville and win one of the Houston games, or the other way around, and then it's still a walk away. So, but yeah, that schedule's legit. There is not a losing record on that schedule. So it's certainly a possibility. I'm also not as afraid of Baltimore as you. And I picked Baltimore to win the Super Bowl before the season started. I don't love the way their defense plays. I know they handled the Jets today. Great.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They're weirdly not as good running the ball this year as they have been in the past. I think they're kind of like, you know what? They remind me of the Eagles a little bit, where everyone thinks that they're good because they're always good. Yeah. And there's like real flaws that kind of get ignored until they lose. So,
yeah.
And the Ravens have lost a handful this year. So I don't know. And their history in the postseason, that's a team I would be more afraid of Buffalo, Kansas City coming into Foxborough than I would be the Ravens right now.
Are the Bills going to make the playoffs?
It's a good question. A good question. This, that Patriots Bills game is going to have a lot to do with it.
So they go to the Bills go to Pittsburgh on Sunday, yep. Which they should win.
They should, but
there's no guarantee. Pittsburgh's not a pushover.
No,
they host the Bengals with Burrow and
just going to go Chase ahead. Back. Well, no, it'll be that's true. Yeah,
Burrow will be back.
Yep,
Chase will be back. They come to Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
I know how you feel about this. They go to Cleveland, and if Cleveland's sacking everybody,
Myles Garrett has 18 sacks this season now in 11 games. He's going to finish with almost 30 sacks.
Then they host Philadelphia,
after
Christmas, and then they finish with the Jets. I mean, they should make it, I mean, they're going to probably have to go 11-6, which means they have to go 4-2.
Yeah. And I mean, it's possible, we're not going to look at every schedule, but I don't know what the Chargers and Jags also have left, but it's going to be fun. There's going to be weeks where we learn a lot because a lot of these teams play each other. So scheduling is good. It's not like, it's not like Texas A&M playing Samford in week 10 of the college football season.
I didn't think Samford would get a shout out on this podcast.
I think that's who they played. I don't know. There was a college football game this week where I'm like, why are we getting this at this point?
Yeah. Was it UNC?
Yeah. NFC playoff picture.
It looks
as though the Rams are going to be your one seed at this point.
Yeah, they just kicked another field goal.
Interesting. The 8-3 Eagles face the 8-3 Bears on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that's your 2-3 seed right now. I cannot believe the Bears are the 3 seed.
I can't believe the Bears are 8-3.
Tampa and Carolina are going to be tied in the standings, which is just fascinating.
Which is great for me because I picked the Panthers to win the NFC South this year.
Carolina minus 42 point differential on the season.
Well, let's see how they do Monday night in San Francisco.
And then as of now, Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco with Detroit left behind. In the wild card, and Detroit barely squeaked by the Giants today at home.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the NFC playoff picture, what are your thoughts on that one?
I think it's the Bears. The Bears are fascinating.
I just don't trust them at all.
No, just them either. But there's something fascinating about them, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins Coach of the Year between Vrabel and Ben Johnson, because I feel like those two are going to be clear-cut kind of favorites for this award.
Their schedule down the stretch is brutal.
The Bears?
Yeah, so they're at Philly on Friday.
Yeah.
They're at Green Bay the next week.
Yep.
They have the monstrous, impossible-to-beat Cleveland Browns at home.
Yes, after that. Rob's Cleveland Brown. Are you from Cleveland or Philly?
Then they get Green Bay again. Then they're at San Francisco, and then they finish with Detroit. So it's, again, like they don't have – there isn't a losing record on besides the Browns. There's no losing record on this
game. Okay, so let's play this game. If we think Detroit's going to get in,
yes. Which
I think we probably would both say today, the Lions will get in the playoffs. I will say that. Well, you clearly won't.
No, because here's the thing. Green Bay is a half game behind them. The Lions are a game behind them.
Yeah.
If we all know San Francisco's schedule is dog do the rest of the way.
Yep.
I think there's a chance only two NFC North teams get in, And I think it's very logical that Green Bay and Detroit could be the two teams in, and Chicago is not. I'm not willing to put the Bears in the playoffs right now.
I guess,
but, but for your example, if you would like to
put them in. So that was my, you kind of answered it before I asked the question. So if you are putting in the Lions, who's coming out, and the Bears are your answer?
Probably. I would prefer, I'd almost prefer it be San Francisco, but I know who they have the rest of the way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that because I don't like the 49ers, they're not going to get through this garbage schedule they have. So
yeah.
I think the Niners are probably going 11-6 at worst. And, okay. Yep. and I think, you know, Chicago still has Green Bay twice and Detroit once, and, you know, Detroit hasn't been impressive at all, but then again, no. I'm never impressed by the Bears. So we will see, but they could go into Philly and win next week. And then, or it's suddenly like everything's, you know, going crazy. So suddenly Dallas is in the conversation.
What's nuts about the Bears, and we'll get to the exercise, obviously, in a few minutes with our bottom five. The Bears started 0-2.
Yeah.
They lost in week two, 52-21 to Detroit.
I know.
And they have won eight of nine.
The last nine, yeah.
And their only loss was at Baltimore.
That was with, and that was with Snoop Huntley.
Was it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm almost positive that was Tyler Huntley in that game.
And they've won their last three games. Sorry. They've won their last four games since that loss. They've won their last four games by a combined 14 points.
Yeah, they're still 8-3.
They beat Cincy by 5, the Giants by 4, the Vikings by 2, and the Steelers by 3.
They're 8-3 on the season. They have a -3 point differential.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's hard to say like, oh yeah, they're definitely in.
They haven't beaten anybody. Not that the Patriots have, but they beat Dallas. They beat Vegas by 1. They beat the Commanders by 1. They beat New Orleans. They beat Cincy, Giants. Yeah. I don't know.
Here are the teams, the NFL.
But good for the Bears.
Teams in the NFC that have given up the most points this year.
Yep.
One is the Giants. Hold on a second. My thing just froze. All right. One is the Giants.
Yep.
Giving up a boatload. 334. Yep. Number two, Dallas, 314. Number three, Washington, 296. Number four, the Bears, 292. And they're 8-3. So
it's nuts.
It is. That is going to be, I mean, the fact that you have an 8-3 Seattle team, a 7-3-1 Green Bay team as wild card teams, and then you got the Lions 7-4 out
legit. I do feel like we would be doing a disservice if you didn't at least take a minute or two to let your feelings out about what happened in Arlington, Texas today with the Eagles Cowboys, because I can't let this podcast continue without you getting your Eagles feelings out. This is a safe place.
My hope. So here's the thing. Usually a team that has a good record that isn't playing great, you say this team needs a loss, right? They can't just, you know, if they keep winning, they're going to think everything's okay. They need a loss.
Yeah.
I agree that the Eagles needed a loss. Up 21-0 in the first half on the road. That's not the loss. Mm-hmm. So like, while I think they needed a loss, today wasn't it. They continue to coach not to lose. They're not coaching to win.
Their play calling is so freaking bad, Rob.
It's horrible. Their offensive corner is horrible.
It's so bad. Is he going to get fired before the end of the season or removed?
No, the problem is when you're good, the problem with firing your offensive coordinator, it's not like there's offensive coordinators available. Like you need somebody on your staff that's already doing it that you think could do it better. And honestly, like, I don't know who on their staff could call plays. So I don't think they'll fire him. I think they'll fire him at the end of the season.
Calling plays doesn't have a clue how to call plays. So might be somebody. I said the guy currently calling the plays doesn't have a clue how to call plays.
No, so I mean, I don't know. You could go to your quarterback. The problem is they have a short week now. So this is not the week that you fire your OC.
Sure. No, I'm not suggesting it happens.
My hope, today. You know, here's the other thing that's not a secret. They cannot run the ball. Yeah. They can't. They just can't.
Is there a line that
just Mekhi Becton, but Tyler Steen's been fine. Their center's been playing hurt. He's been awful this year.
Yep.
I think teams are just have a read on what they're doing. I don't think they've mixed up their run game nearly enough as they have in past seasons.
Yeah.
Really disappointing crap. effort, up 21-0.
A lot of bad bounces too.
We'll get to some of the other stuff in just a couple minutes, but it's, I guess, like, in the grand scheme, they needed the loss. Hopefully this wakes up somebody over there. You know, but for once, like, you can stop blaming the quarterback, who was their best player today. You can stop blaming, you know, all the, it is very, very, very clearly the coaching and the unbelievable amount of self-inflicted wounds that this team creates on itself. They just can't get out of their own way. And, you know, you had first down at the 12-yard line, but there's a penalty. You had first down at the 30, but there's a penalty. You had first and goal, except you fumbled. You know, like, it's just, you missed a field goal. Everything about, you know, self-inflicted wounds. So I had a day where I jumped through hoops to be able to watch that game.
Yeah.
Inviting neighbors' kids over to entertain my kids so I could watch a 425 game while watching two kids solo. And I got to watch that mess. So, no, I'm not happy. I'm trying to get past it here.
No, but yeah, it was definitely a game where it's like, it's one of those, you just, I mean, my God, you can't lose games when you're up 21-0. You just can't. It's just
not a divisional game, putting a team away, winning the division next week, potentially. The whole thing was a disgrace. That's the only way to put it.
We got a major issue here in,
what's
in
that?
LA.
Uh-oh.
Looks like Baker Mayfield has a serious shoulder injury.
Oh, boy. Did you order this as a Carolina Panthers truther? Is that why you're in that shirt, by the way?
This is my Carolina blue.
Carolina Panthers blue shirt, and now Baker Mayfield's hurt. Did you order this?
Let's see what happens. He hurt himself throwing a Hail Mary. He hurt himself throwing a Hail Mary.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Logistical. Is that a contact injury or is that a non-contact injury?
Well, the ground would suggest it was a contact injury. It's bizarre. He looks very upset walking off the field. It was the last play of the first half. And
did he like throw out his arm?
It's hard to tell.
When Baker Mayfield tries to throw the ball with like a lot of zip or he throws it deep, it really looks like it looks like a 9-year-old trying to throw a rock as far as he can.
Well, if this is a serious injury, it was on a 4th-and-24 Hail Mary where he threw the Hail Mary and it was 30 yards short of the end zone and got it.
Oh, yeah. He hurt his shoulder on the throw then. Yeah. Or he's embarrassed by how short that ball landed he's milking it.
He was definitely hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. Is it halftime now or what?
It is halftime, Mercy.
Oh, yeah. I bet. So here's my bet. He's playing the third quarter. He's going to be fine.
All right. Let's see. I don't know.
I think he's embarrassed by the throw.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't even have it on.
Well, he didn't
throw I'm in the
35-yard line while falling off his shoulder. Like,
I love away, it.
He's, off his bad shoulder. All
right. Baker, if you're listening and you're really hurt, I'm sorry.
Yes. Baker definitely watches.
You want to go over to bottom five coaches?
Let's do it.
I have some really bad news, by the way.
What's up?
I have some terrible news we hit bottom five coaches.
Please share.
I got a push notification from Adam Schefter. I have Schefter notifications on in case news breaks. Yeah, I need to know.
It's an emergency.
And it said, it read.
Yep.
Titans coach Mike McCoy announces that Calvin Ridley is out. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
You were hoping to go the whole year without knowing who he was.
I didn't know. Now I know.
Other things.
I was so disappointed because, like, as someone who, like, covers sports for a living, the Titans mean nothing to anybody. Yeah. And it was kind of fun living my life purposely not knowing who took over as Titans head coach. And I was seriously enjoying it.
Yep.
And now I am, like, crazy upset. Of course, he's now my number one bottom five head coach. I didn't see at the Titans game.
He's number one.
I know
one.
That
he's
they
not,
came back.
He's not my number one.
I know they came back and played Seattle decently. But you know what? I know who it is now, and that makes me angry. So Mike
automatic number one.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do your whole list?
I'll just keep going.
Yeah, go for it.
You got me all fired up. Number two, Zach Taylor. Craig, you texted me about it. fourth, and we are 3-8.
Yeah.
Fourth and one at midfield, yeah, and you take the delay and punt?
Punt the ball? What are you doing?
Like,
what
why?
Year is this? I know.
There's paying fans. There's paying fans in the
they
stands.
They want to see you run a play?
You're 3-8.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow practiced in full 3 straight days, and you didn't start him. Like, yeah, you're clearly not trying to win. So just
he knows
go
he's
for it
fired.
There, dummy.
He knows he's getting fired.
Number 3 is Pete Carroll. You know what? He's got Joe Gibbs written all over him. I know the gap wasn't as big, yeah, but it's like, how old did you get during the year off? Like, yeah, they're so bad. They're so poorly coached. They're such a bad team. And they gave like $10 million to Chip Kelly. I know. Week one. Never trust week one. I'm going to cheat here.
Yep.
Number 4, I have Brian Schottenheimer and Nick Sirianni.
Oh, you did the Chris Berman.
I did. I'm sorry.
This
I know
like,
you hate it.
This is like my least favorite thing. I can't believe you would do this to me. You know how
here's
I feel the
reason.
You can't
here's
have
the
a
reason.
Top 10 that has 32 plays. That's not the top 10.
I know. It's a Bill Barnwell article in a podcast form. I know that. But let me just say this really fast.
I'm so upset.
As bad as Nick Sirianni was in this game, and he really deserves the spot, 21-21, fourth and goal from not the 1, but like the 5.
Yeah.
With 5 minutes left really in the game, bad. And the Cowboys went for it.
Yeah.
And threw the ball short of the goal line. Yeah. What are they doing?
They almost completed a pass from that short of the line again.
Kick the field goal. What are you doing, dude?
There's 3.5 minutes left. Your defense was playing great. Like,
oh my
god, it was such a like
so
you got bailed
stupid.
Out.
Stupid.
You got so bailed out.
Both. I will say, early on in the season, I think coaches do the smart thing. I don't know if it's the fact that it gets colder or there's more pressure. I feel like there are 10 times the amount of bad decision-making by coaches in weeks like 12 through 18 as there were 1 through 11.
Yeah, sure.
It's disgusting. I went the wrong order, by the way. Number 5 is Dan Quinn. I thought the bye week was much better than the Commanders this week.
Okay. I'll go 5-1 like a
– Yeah,
like
go
regular,
there. Yeah,
like
I was
a
too fired
human
up.
Human being here.
I was too fired up,
and I'm only
going to
have 5 names
me.
Because I one of my founding sports things that cornerstones for me is that if you have a list,
you go
can't
from,
you have to have 5 coaches. You can't have 6. Have 4. It's bottom 5.
Having By the way, real quick, the Eagles are going to fire Kevin Petula at the end of the season, and they're going to hire Mike McCoy. All right, continue.
Okay, number 5. You know, I thought about putting Schottenheimer because what he did today was for all the reasons you mentioned, just an absolute travesty and really just playing fast and loose and not understanding, hey, it's a tie game with 3 minutes left. If I kick a field goal, we might just win 24-21. But he's not on my list. Number 5, okay. Aaron Glenn. Look, I understand first-year head coach, quarterback situation's a mess. I just can't get past. I cannot get past. They have 1 takeaway in 11 games. You can't.
So bad. From a defensive head coach.
From a defensive head coach. Like, how do you not? Like, my God, you need to have more than 1. They have 1 takeaway.
Yeah.
One.
And it was a fumble recovery. They have not intercepted a pass.
Yeah. Number 4, Mike McCoy. You know, when he took over, they were 1-5. They're 0-5 since he took over. Just bring back Brian Callahan. Let him finish it out.
That's who it was, Brian
Callahan. Yeah, Brian Callahan. Number 3, Zachary Taylor. My goodness. You obviously already mentioned a lot of it. The Burrow thing, yes, Burrow should have just played.
Yeah.
His in-game coaching, I know I texted you on that 4th-and-1. I could have texted you like 30 times during the game. His decision-making is so bad on so many fronts. He's just... I feel like he's clueless out there. I feel like he was just carried by Burrow, Chase, and Higgins the 1 year that obviously they made the Super Bowl. He's a bum. He's not going to be in the bottom 5 next year if he's not going to be employed. Number 2, surprised you haven't had this guy on here, and I know he's a little near and dear. Jonathan Gannon.
I had him 1 week.
Yes, but you didn't have him on your top 6 this week. Bottom 6. Jonathan Gannon, can I tell you? He's 1-8 in his last 9 games. They started. Yeah. They're the reverse Bears. Mm-hmm. They started the year 2-0 and have lost 8 of 9.
The only reason I didn't put him on there is because that team still like plays hard.
He's 15 and 30. Yeah. Eventually, you can't win 33% of your games and be a head coach.
I agree. Yeah.
You just can't.
I think I actually do think he'll get fired at the end of the year.
And number one. And number one comes with a little game this week for you.
All right.
Number one is Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Which, you were down 24-3 at home to Shedeur Sanders today.
Yeah.
At one point. You obviously scored a touchdown, but fine.
He only completed 11 passes.
Yeah. You lost to a Shedeur Sanders-led team and were trailing by 21 points. That's number one. Number two, for all those wondering, what if Belichick coached the Falcons? Would he be better than Raheem Morris? And I still got my eye on you, Raheem Morris. You're spared this week, but because you beat Tyler Shook. Watching Pete Carroll coach is like what I think people would think would happen with Belichick if he coached in the NFL. And I know we're seeing it with Belichick at the college level, but it's over for Pete. It's over. Love him. I honestly liked him when he was the coach of the Patriots. I love his energy. I hope I have that kind of energy when I'm his age, but he's got to go, which leads me to my little game here, Rob.
Okay.
So
pumped. Love games.
I want to see, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but there have been 12 head coaches for the Raiders since John Gruden.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to start before you can start to percolate on who some of these people are.
Okay.
Only two of them have a winning record.
Okay.
I'm not asking you to name the ones with the winning records, but can you name any of the last 12 Raiders coaches? And just the names on this list is absolutely ridiculous. All of these coaches would have been in the bottom five if we did this years ago.
Okay. So Rich Bisaccia counts as one, right?
Yeah. And he was one of the two with the winning record. And
there you go.
And they didn't bring him back. He led them to a playoff game.
Antonio Pierce.
They almost beat the Bengals.
Oh my God. That's right.
Antonio Pierce, 9-17.
Tom Cable.
Tom Cable, 17-27, was the head coach for 44 games.
Jack Del Rio.
Yeah. The other one with a winning record.
Wow.
He had 25-23 in three seasons.
Oh my God.
Relieved John his duties.
John Gruden.
Yep. John Gruden.
Oh boy.
You want me to help you? Want me to just give you the rest so that we're not,
this is fun. but yeah, fill me in.
Okay, Josh McDaniels, 9-16.
That's right, yeah, of course.
Tony Sparano, 3-9.
Ah, may he rest in peace, right?
Yep. Dennis Allen, 8-28.
Dennis Allen.
Hugh Jackson, 8-8.
Hugh Jackson went 8-8.
He did. 2011.
Do you remember when he went?
He was like 1-32 or 1-31.
He went 1-15 with the Browns. They brought him back and he went 0-16.
It's like
the other way around, either way.
The greatest accomplishment of all time. Yeah. Other names, I said Dennis Allen, Hugh Jackson, Lane Kiffin, 5-15.
Oh, I forgot Lane Kiffin
was
there.
North Turner, 9-23. Bill Callahan, 15-17. Like,
who was the
these names are all so they had Pete Carroll this year, Antonio Pierce in 23-24, McDaniels in 22, Bisaccia in 21, they're coaches, and this is just kind of my point. They have no stability at the coaching position. And when they have a guy who did decent, they let him go. They're like, oh, we'll get somebody better. And then that person is inevitably worse. Carroll's going to be gone after this year. And they're going to be on like their 13th coach in the last like 10 seasons.
So on this.
Yes.
Because it was made such a big deal before the season.
Yep.
How much power Tom Brady has there. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's friends with John Spytek. Oh, it's him and John Spytek are running the organization. Oh, he has the headset on. Oh, he talks to Chip Kelly all week. Bad owner? What's he done this year? He's helped put the roster together with John Spytek. He's talked to Chip Kelly week after week.
Yeah.
And he helped hire the head coach.
Yeah. I mean,
fail.
Can't all say fails. He's a good owner.
No, yeah, he's so far in 1 year, because we tear Belichick down as we should.
Yep.
So far in 1 year, Tom Brady is Derek Jeter running the Marlins. So far.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out because.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree at all. I think they're a hot mess.
It obviously isn't as impacting of a legacy as Belichick, because Belichick is still coaching, still doing what he was doing, just somewhere else. Whereas it's not like Brady's playing quarterback for the Raiders.
No.
But so it's not a legacy thing. But you know what, Tom Brady, so far, you're bad part owner. You're bad at it.
Yep.
So I just want to point that out. That's all.
I don't know. Look, I don't know if Brady got into owning a team necessarily to like, not to, obviously he wants to win, but I don't know. I think he did it for to stay obviously relevant in the league and keep being involved.
He wants the money.
They're a mess. They're going to continue to be a mess. They're going to be on a new head coach. Look, can Brady just, I'd love it if Brady could either quarterback or coach the team. I would love to, that would be fascinating to see Brady coaching.
I mean, the real,
he would never do it, I don't think, but
the real move would be if Brady took over UNC after Belichick got fired.
I'm trying to see if Baker's alive.
I know, that's what I was just looking at.
The Rams got the ball, so I haven't seen him. I feel like I would have seen tweets that he was like really hurt, but doubtful to return, left shoulder.
Left shoulder. So it wasn't from the throw.
No, it was. It's when he landed.
He landed.
So He was going to his left. He was like avoiding a rush. He should have never
thrown. He threw it and fell. Did he fall on his own?
Momentum. Yeah, he just like, he kind of fell forward.
Oh my God. This is getting worse by the.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Baker. Baker's not coming back. They're down 31
to 7. Who's their backup quarterback?
Great. We're about to find out. I have no idea. I'll see if I can find
it. Last time I remember the Bucs backup quarterback, it was Mike Glennon and his like 6 foot long neck.
Let's see what the depth chart says. So the depth chart says it is Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
He's still in the league. How about that?
Come on. He can't play anymore.
Awesome. Just when I thought I was going to go to bed and not watch this, I think I might need to see a Teddy Bridgewater drive.
Oh, wow. He's the only other quarterback on their active roster.
Yeah.
What are the odds he doesn't make it through this game? I would say Teddy Bridgewater hurt before the fourth quarter is a real possibility.
And who would be who do you think the emergency quarterback is for the Bucks?
Is this where we're at now? We're now guessing the Bucks emergency quarterback. I'm going to say Cade Otton.
Cade
Otton throws a good ball.
Yeah, tight end's a good spot. I like that. I'll stick with Cade Otton. All right, let's before anyone else gets hurt in this game, let's wrap this thing up.
What a good injury week. Well, you know, at least your team won this week, but a fairly disappointing effort from both of our teams. Mine far more disappointing. God. And from someone who's had to watch a lot of injuries in the past. Good luck with Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown for the foreseeable future, and hopefully we get some good news. But a lively show nonetheless.
Yes.
And we will see you next week when we run the damn podcast once more.